thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ryan. And today we have with us Yolanda. Yolanda, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, sure. My name is Yolanda Hardy. I am an assistant dean of assessment and accreditation at Palm Beach Atlantic University Gregory School of Pharmacy. I am a pharmacist by training, and my previous practice was in ambulatory care in the community setting.
And we're excited to have Yolanda on today to talk about a topic that I think is probably uncomfortable for a lot of people to talk about, but it is really important. So lately in the news, there's been some reporting about female African-American doctors dying while being treated in hospital settings. Examples of this include a doctor who died from COVID-19 and another passed away due to preeclampsia complications 2 days after giving birth. Both occurrences happened in Indiana, and they both happened in the year 2020. So this is very recent. Studies show that Black women die in childbirth 2.5 times the rate of white women. Additionally, Dr. Moore, the physician who died of COVID-19, complained of racist treatment on Facebook prior to passing away. Commentaries about these items really have talked a lot about implicit bias. For some of us who may not know, what is implicit bias?
Well, that's a great question, because the idea or the concept of implicit bias has been around for a while, but it's only recently being discussed. And so just for those who may not know, implicit bias is described as attitudes or stereotypes that affect our understanding, our actions, and our decisions in an unconscious manner. And so we may exhibit behaviors that are resulting from implicit bias, but we don't know it. Now, on the opposite hand, there's explicit bias. And explicit bias is described as attitudes and feelings that you are aware of. And when you exhibit those behaviors that reflect that explicit bias, you're doing that intentionally. So you do know what's going on. And then just another thing about the wording, sometimes implicit bias can be referred to as unconscious bias, and explicit bias be referred to as conscious bias, just in case you've heard those words as well.
So I'm familiar with implicit bias, certainly, but and many of the dangers associated with it. But I think oftentimes we think of bias in a role outside of healthcare and maybe in other facets of our life. Why is implicit bias such a big problem in the healthcare system?
Well, it's very important that we address it, because it is a huge issue in the healthcare system. Implicit bias can negatively impact patient outcomes. For example, it may determine whether or not a person is diagnosed early for a particular illness. It could impact whether or not they receive proper intervention, whether or not that person is treated appropriately, and even whether or not the person would be willing to seek further care if they become ill in the future. And then, as we saw with Dr. Susan Moore, implicit bias resulted in her death because she was not treated appropriately based on how we're currently treating patients in the hospital with COVID.
Could you give us some examples of how implicit bias may manifest in a healthcare setting, in hospital, or maybe in ambulatory care in a community pharmacy? How would that manifest?
Sure. So there are a number of different things that can happen. One that a lot of people talk about is how African Americans are often denied pain medication because there is a thought that African Americans have a higher pain threshold and therefore they don't need the medication. Or they're being denied medication because there's a thought that they're drug seeking. And so you have a patient who's in pain, who's trying to request treatment, and they're not getting it. Another example that's not necessarily due to race, but maybe sexual orientation, is women who aren't getting preventative care because they are lesbian. You know, so it's like, well, yeah, I still need a pap smear. You know, I'm still at risk for cancer. Or even in a pharmacy setting, a woman who identifies as lesbian, who's getting prescription filled for oral contraceptives, where a pharmacist may question that, where we have to realize that there are other reasons why people use oral contraception. So those are some examples. Other examples are just judgment in terms of a patient who may come to the doctor from a low-income background who may be dressed nice. Are you going to look at that patient the same way as you look at a patient with private insurance that also comes in dressed nice? And how is that going to impact the way you interact with that patient and ultimately treat that patient? And it's really interesting because as an African-American myself, I know growing up, we were taught when you go to the doctor, you look nice, you know? So it's not a thing that is social class or anything like that. That's culturally how we were raised. So to judge it, maybe make it a little bit difficult. Another example could be for women who may be presenting with symptoms of a heart attack. So they're having cardiovascular symptoms and those symptoms are being dismissed as, oh, you just have anxiety, you know, maybe, you know, rather than working you up doing a full cardiovascular workup, you're being sent home with anti-anxiety meds, or maybe a recommendation to go see a therapist, whereas the person is actually having a heart attack. So those are some examples of how bias can happen in the pharmacy. Looking at patients who may come from a lower socioeconomic background or a different ethnicity and denying them prescription refills is another option or another situation. Or if you have a patient who does not speak English well, shortening your time with that person. So not really getting the full history and talking to the person, seeing if they have any questions about their medications that they've just received from the pharmacy. Those are examples of how implicit bias can have a role in how we provide care as pharmacists.
So, I mean, those were all great examples. And obviously there are thousands and thousands of examples of implicit bias. And I think the scariest part is that the person who is conducting that implicit bias really has a blind spot to the fact that they're doing that. How can we as healthcare professionals combat implicit bias in our daily practice? What can we do to make sure we're preventing this whenever possible?
That's a great question. And I think the biggest thing is to recognize that we all have biases, everyone, you know? And so we want to be able to step back and recognize our own biases first, and then hold ourselves accountable for those biases and hold ourselves accountable for educating ourselves to reduce our personal biases, especially when it comes to providing care. Now, with that being said, I think it's also important that we all realize that as we're recognizing our own biases, we don't pair that up with shame or blaming ourselves or others for these biases because we all have them. But what we want to do is be able to address them so that we can begin to provide the best care for all of our patients. So some of the steps that I would suggest, because this is something that there are a lot of articles and training sessions that talk about implicit bias, which I definitely would think that people should attend and read. But I also look at it in another way too. So I would challenge all of our healthcare providers to look at our patients as people first. You know, don't look at them as the disease first. Don't look at them as their skin color first or their ethnicity or their sexual orientation first. Look at them as a person first. And then take time to get to know them. There are some explanatory models where you can use those models to learn more about how a patient views their disease, and then how do they view the proper way to treat that disease. You know, so taking the time to ask those questions will give you more perspective of that person. Also, if our pharmacists or other healthcare providers are in the position to do so, encourage a culture of inclusion in your work environment. And so that's more than just saying we've hired a lot of diverse people, but celebrate the diversity and celebrate the differences that come out of that, and then start to incorporate that into how you provide care for patients. So I think those are great places to start with looking at how can we address it in our healthcare settings. But it's also important that as we're doing this, that we're not shaming ourselves or blaming ourselves for having the bias, because we all have them. And so we all have a responsibility of trying to do our best to make sure that we're eliminating or reducing them.
One of the things that I always told when I was a preceptor, I would tell students is a lot of people will say, well, how do you want this person treated if they were your child? And I always feel like that one's a little bit hard because a lot of our students don't have children or things like that. But I come from a family where nobody else in my family is a healthcare practitioner. And so for me, I always think, how would I want this person to be treated if they were my mom? my mom who has no medical background, how do, would I want them to be treated? And I really find that that helps me reframe, you know, if my mom came in and she was suffering from these problems, what would I want the healthcare provider to provide her with? And exactly. I think that that helps me reframe. Honestly, it makes me slow down a little bit. I slow down. I take more time talking about it. I take some extra time, you know, if I'm doing education or even if I'm doing some clinical services. Did I look at all these pieces? Yes, I'm sure I did. Or no, you know what? I missed something. I need to go back and look at that before I give them this Procrit or whatever.
Exactly. And I tell my students the same thing. You know, it's like, imagine this person is your, like, is that family member that you love just beyond anything. Or imagine it's your grandma, you know, and it's just like, would you want your grandmother to be treated this way? And if you say no, then that means you need to go back and do some more work, you know, and, you know, provide this patient with the same care that you would provide your grandmother or someone in your family that you love tremendously. And it does put you in a different mindset, a different framework.
I think that, you know, we've talked about how this can be a difficult conversation sometimes. How can preceptors discuss this issue with their students and help them to become better practitioners for all patients?
Yes. So I think with our preceptors, one of the biggest thing for preceptors to remember is that our students are watching, you know, so they're looking at you and they're seeing what you're doing and they may go on and emulate what you're doing. So as a preceptor, first and foremost, them having that awareness of their own biases and making sure that they're doing what they can to reduce those. When working with students, I would suggest that preceptors observe the student and see if they see behaviors that may suggest bias and have an open conversation with the student, not one that's accusatory, but, you know, hey, I noticed you did this. How do you think this could impact this person's care? Now, let's think of it in this way. If this happened, or if you did this, how do you think that would impact the care? You know, and start that conversation. I think also for our preceptors, if they're doing journal clubs or topic discussions, include articles about unconscious bias in those discussions, you know, so that it becomes a normal topic. And that kind of also takes away some of the fear or the level of the, you know, it increases the level of comfort of having a conversation about this. So those are some things I think preceptors can do. And if their employer has any type of training, seeing if students are able to also attend those trainings so that they can learn as well as along with the other healthcare providers.
And I think just to echo that journal club point, I think looking at those big studies and trying to look for those potential biases that were blind spots in a big study can really be a good exercise as well. I enjoy doing that and try to do that whenever I can. Mm-hmm. Yolanda, thank you so much for talking to us today. I think this has been a great discussion and I really appreciate your perspective and your expertise on the subject.
Thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me to speak on the podcast.
Thank you all for joining us for this episode of the Pharmacy Preceptor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like or subscribe. We would love your feedback on topics that interest you and how we can make this podcast better. Please submit your comments to help us develop content that best serves you. Thanks, everyone.